Hello, beautiful beings. Welcome to the True Nature Podcast. I'm Taj Savitri, your host, mentor for spiritual entrepreneurs and intuitive healer. In this podcast, we explore all things expansion, psychedelics, consciousness, and spirituality. Here you will find transmissions from the world's leading healers and guides. And my hope is that you leave feeling more happy, abundant, and empowered by your life. Most importantly, inspired to live in the fullest, most unique expression that is you. By the laws of nature, when you expand as an individual, when you grow, heal, and prosper, your external world, this planet, and the humans on it greatly benefit. They grow, heal, and prosper because of you. That means we all matter. We all contribute to the growing presence of peace and harmony on this planet. Welcome home to your true nature. Hello, beautiful beings. Welcome to another episode, another transmission in the True Nature Podcast. I am so fucking excited about today's guest. Today's guest is Monica Yates. She is a life coach who helps women come into their feminine, which is so important in the times today that we're experiencing. We need more women to rise. And she's also a period expert, which I'm super fascinated with. And I met Monica when we were both speaking on stage at an event, and we totally clicked. And I feel like I'm still getting to know you in so many ways. And we kind of started the podcast before I pushed record because we were just so excited to talk. But I'm going to introduce you guys to Monica. And yeah, here she is. Hi, Monica.
Hi, I'm actually on my period at the moment, so you're going to get like lots of intuitive messages that will probably come through, which is amazing.
Oh my God, it's already starting. Yeah. So why don't you just talk about that? Like your first few days of being on your period.
Okay.
Instead of that. Yeah.
So like something that I actually notice and I encourage people to notice is like tuning in with what's different around your period and in terms of like how much more intuitive you get when you're on your period. Even a little example for me is like I will journal like 5 pages in the morning compared to like a usual maybe like 1-2 that I can usually do around ovulation. I'm like maybe 3 lines because I'm just like, I just want to start the fucking day. But oh my gosh, it's like full on snowing right now. Oh my God, I'm so happy right now.
So she's in New York right now.
Oh my God, it is like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You guys are going to be getting the best fucking episode because the snow makes me so happy. So on my period, I'm like, everyone is very intuitive on their period. I mean, as a woman and as a feminine woman, we hold all of our power in our womb space. And when you have your period, like you've got the ultimate amount of energy in your womb. And just naturally by having more energy there, you're going to be more tapped in and therefore more intuitive messages can come through. So I actually love doing like psychic work around my period, because I just am so tapped in that it's kind of annoying for like some people sometimes. So like, okay, stop reading my fucking brain. But it's really fun. And like, I encourage my clients and everybody to tap into their different phases of their cycle and learn what it is for them that works during their different phases of their cycle, like to make it fun because it keeps things interesting. And I really enjoy that.
Oh my God. I love getting my period now.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I used to hate getting my period when I was on birth control, but now I love it. Although I will say the day before it comes, I get fucking crazy.
Oh, really? Like what sort? Like how crazy?
Well, I feel crazy.
Okay.
I feel like a wild woman. It's just all of my stuff is coming up, all of my shadows. And it's because I'm intuitive as well. I'm a psychic medium. So like I'm feeling everything. And then when it comes, I'm like, fuck, I'm so happy.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love my period. Period sex also is the best thing on the planet. So if you're getting all that shit that's coming up during your period, like really use that when it comes up as like, okay, I have to work on this because your period is a time of like release. Mm-hmm. So if you can figure out the things that you need to work on, like emotionally, your wounds, X, Y, and Z, if you can work on them predominantly during your bleed, it'll be like a double whammy of release because you're energetically releasing and physically releasing. So it is actually a really good time to get Reiki, kinesiology, see your coach, do like healing events, all that sort of stuff, because you're then physically releasing at the same time. So it's like double as good.
Awesome. I know it's like a really great time too to pull cards and do intuitive work like that. Like if you need answers, that's
A
good time.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with my period, like a lot.
It's good that you're doing this work then.
Yeah, of course. Even just the act, if you're not like wanting to get really, really crazy, like into it, but even just the act to like begin with getting into touch with your cycle and your period, the act of just like wearing red around your bleed time. So I always wear red lingerie when I am bleeding, or the act of not exercising or just doing like really sensual yoga, as opposed to like doing a hard, like Pilates class or a hard HIIT class. Like for example, like you should not do any abdominal exercises when you're in your period, because like you've already got like so much going on down there. You don't want to be like contracting and like pushing on that space as well. So avoiding those sorts of things. Don't get a fucking Brazilian wax on your period. That's key number one.
Sounds like you've maybe done that before.
Oh my God, I've done that before. And you know when like you're stuck in those scenarios where it's like, I'm on holiday, I need a Brazilian. Like I don't have a choice. And even the tattoo that I got today, it's like right next to my pussy. And I thought, I'm on the last day of my period. And I was like, this is so not ideal. Because it was just like a bit of extra pain. Actually wasn't that bad. A Brazilian's worse. But
Brazilian's the worst. I got a Brazilian once.
Yeah.
And that was also the last time I got one.
Oh my God.
Do what? For you to do what? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I just trim up now.
Yeah, I've had some bad Brazilian experiences, to be honest. I had a Brazilian like 2 weeks, a week ago, and it was like fucking shit. So, I find that they're worse in America than in Australia. In Australia, they take like a lot of care, like 45 minutes to do one. But I find with a lot of places in America, it's like 10 minutes, you're in, you're out. It's like, that's not like, no, that's not okay.
Yeah, you got to care for the little bits, you know?
Yeah, like, seriously.
You're waxing my butthole. Be careful.
I know.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Monica, I want to hear a bit about your background and your story and like how you got to do the work that you're doing today. Mm-hmm. And because you're just so full of knowledge and you're so passionate about the work that you do. And I want to hear about how you came to this point. You're living in New York, you're traveling the world, you're speaking on stage, you're educating people about your periods, you know, doing podcast interviews like this where we get to talk about like period sex and buttholes and whatever, and you're just like so free and open, because she's also a Sag and I'm an Aries, so that's why
we just get along well.
Yeah, we do. The fire like stokes the fire.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did I get into it? So long story short, if anyone wants to like really know my story, then they can find it on my podcast. But long story short, basically I was on the pill because I fucking hated being a woman. I fucking hated getting my period. So I was on the pill so I could like not fall pregnant and also skip it whenever I wanted to. That fucked my body up like no one's business. And then I came off the pill. And when I came off it, I didn't get my period back for 18 months. It just like wasn't coming. And during that time, my body wasn't producing any estrogen or any progesterone. So it was actually getting really, really dangerous for like my whole entire body. Like every organ in my body was like, you know, it was dangerous, my bones included. So then eventually I started dating this guy that I met at Tony Robbins event, and I have done a podcast on how like I really feel like men can actually scientifically and also according to my like channeling that men can actually help women get their periods back. And it's just, you know, in science language, it's more about, you know, if you're around men, you've got all the pheromones, our smell receptors, it boosts our libido. If you're having sex with them, it's going to boost serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, which is going to help all of those hormones come back and get your period back. So like I eventually got my period back after a year and a half. Then I had a really bad ski accident and I lost my period again for 6 months. And during that time, I started to see a pattern with my clients, because I was helping girls get their periods back. And I started to see this pattern with clients of when they were really disconnected to their feminine energy, they would lose their period, have really, really bad period pain. And obviously the reason why I lost my period initially was because of the stress of the ski accident. Just like my body was like, now's not the time to have a baby. Yeah. There was just like a lot of trauma. But I started understanding, like I started to like look into the whole feminine thing when I first lost my period. And it was like interesting me, but like I wasn't ready to fully hear it yet. And I was kind of like, okay, whatever. But I was really fascinated by periods. So I was just like continuing along the period train, helping women like, you know, get rid of their endo, PCOS, fall pregnant, all that jazz. Cause I was like really understanding that, and I fucking loved it. And obviously I got my own period back, and then I obviously lost it again. And then what was really interesting for me was when I got it back again, it happened the day after I did an Instagram live where I said to everybody, I admitted to everybody, I feel like a fraud because here am I helping all of you ladies fix your period problems and I can't even keep mine around. The next day my period came back, and it just like clicked to me of like, fuck, there is so much energetically that we store in our cycle, in our period. Yeah. And that for me was like, whoa. So then I really started to get into, okay, so what was my subconscious telling my body that was actually blocking my period coming back? Because it had been like 6 months since my ski accident. And obviously, like, you know, it can take that long for your period to come back. But I thought it would have come back sooner than that because I managed to lower my stress pretty soon after my accident. So that was like a really big, like, whoa, there's a lot here that I want to explore. And then I like kept going down that road, and I actually did I was doing my business, but like from a very hustle place. And then I remember I had to go to a pain specialist. It was a brain pain specialist because my brain was telling me that I had all this pain when it wasn't actually there. And I would get up in the middle of the night and I would be like in hysterics thinking that like someone was touching my leg when no one was touching my leg and all this jazz. So then I went to this pain specialist, and my my debit card declined, and I didn't have enough money on it. And I kind of had like that mental breakdown point of like, fuck, why am I, like, I don't have enough money. I'm not making enough money. Like X, Y, and Z, what the fuck am I doing? And I just went home and I sat on the balcony and just like fully surrendered. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It's just gonna, whatever. I'm just gonna surrender. It's gonna happen. And from that moment forward, I just stopped pushing in my business, and I started taking more aligned action and surrendering. And like my business just went like snowballed. It was crazy. Then soon after that, I did like a 3-day amazing healing like thing with my coach at the time, and like a lot of trauma release, a lot of anger release, which is why I now do so much of that, because for me and my personality it was really, really important. And I did a fuck ton of trauma release and a fuck ton of anger release. And then I was just like, after those 3 days, I was like, so in my feminine. And then the relationship I had after that, I was like a new fucking woman. Like I was so fucking feminine. I was like, who am I? It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, from that moment forward, I've just become more and more and more like embodied in my feminine energy and really understanding like what it means to be a feminine woman in this like modern day and age, and navigating like the Me Too movement, navigating the feminism stuff, navigating, you know, speaking your boundaries whilst also being feminine in your relationship, helping men to lead like in the relationship, and you take the back seat when you want to. And it's just kind of escalated, and now it's where I am. And now obviously I even like coach men on helping them to get more into their masculine, which has been so fucking amazing. I love that. And now I'm in New York and it's fucking snowing outside, and I cannot wait to go outside and play. Like, holy shit.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that you said that I had like a little bit of a light bulb moment, because it's something that came up for me recently, was around pushing in your business. Mm. And that's not the way to manifest. And I don't even like using the word manifest really. It's more about consciously creating, because I say consciously creating because you're using energy.
Yeah, totally. Like even when I'm manifesting, quote unquote, people forget like you have to take action.
Totally. Like you have to make that belief with.
Yeah, like I put the belief out there and I know it's possible for me, and then I fucking follow it up by like I create it. Like it doesn't just drop out of thin air. Like I create what I want to manifest. Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah.
And you and I talked a bit when we were speaking on stage about collapsing time, which I thought was really interesting and so much fun to talk about. Can you explain what that was like for you?
Yeah. Oh my God. That has been this fucking year. Like, holy shit.
That's been this year for me too.
Yeah. So right now when we're recording, it's December 18th, 2019. This year I set a goal to make $100,000. And I've nearly 7 times that, and it's not even the end of the year. So I probably will have 7 times that by the end of the year. And like, I didn't think I was even going to make the, like, I put the intention out there and I was like, it's going to happen. But I also, because I had no attachment to it, I was also like, I'm not going to die if it doesn't happen. Like, no big deal if it doesn't. And then obviously, like, because I really surrendered to it, it just like fucking happened. Mm-hmm. But this year has been the ultimate like fucking quantum leaping. Like, if someone told me this, all, everything that has happened this year would happen this year, I would be like, that's not going to fucking happen. Like, yeah, you too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin about what's happened for me this year, but the classic cases for me of like just jumping time would be the biggest one with like the growth of my business. Mm-hmm. That's just like escalated really, really quickly, doing like these, you know, in-person 3-day events that are just like fucking insane. You know, having so much financial freedom, being able to travel the world, being able to fly business class everywhere, being able to manifest my soul sisters, like even, I can say this now because it'll be out on the podcast. Even, I, for Christmas, have gotten my parents the most amazing Christmas present ever. I'm treating us to a week at the Ritz-Carlton, at Breckenridge in Colorado, like on the mountain, and it's the bougiest fucking hotel you can get your hands on. I've got like a penthouse, suite for us. And, like that is, I can't wait to give it to them, because to be able to like gift them that is just like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, that's just, for me, it's a dream to be able to just like, be like, oh yeah, I can just fly you guys somewhere if I want to, as a way of saying thank you. But like, it's so much more than it. Like, I don't have to pay them back for anything, but it's just like, it's just a beautiful gift or something. So like, that's been amazing. Manifested amazing, you know, soul sisters this year. Even another example, it fucking snowed on the morning of my birthday this like a couple days ago. And it's not meant to snow the whole week until obviously like right now. But yeah, I woke up to snow. I woke up to like a dream fucking view from the Mandarin Oriental. Just like all these little things that, you know, I'd put in my little world of like things that I want. And then literally like everything has happened this year. Pin board thingamabob. Like
vision board.
Yeah. Vision board. Thank you. I put on there Christmas, New York City, 2019. And then I actually didn't think it was going to happen because mom and dad said, no, we're doing family Christmas in Australia this year. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, I would never not go somewhere my family is for Christmas, because I'm like a very family oriented person, especially around the holidays. So I just like let that one go. And now I'm having Christmas in New York because all the plans changed and they're coming here for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's just like little things like that of like, it's just crazy how if you really trust and surrender, and if you just show up in your most aligned version of yourself, even in relationships, like the more you are, the more fully expressed that you are in relationships, the more the guy or the girl is just going to be like, holy fuck, I cannot get enough of you. You know what I mean? And like for me, I've also been really, really exploring this year and lately, even just being in New York, of like letting my inner child come out and play. And for me, snow is playtime. So being in New York and it snowing, like I'm like, oh my God, I just want to go and make fucking like snowballs and peg them at people. You know, like it's just that like little inner girl that just wants to go out and fucking like touch the snow and play. And I feel like so many adults would kind of just be like, oh yeah, it looks pretty. Or actually they'd be like, no, it's annoying. Like it's going to be slippery on the road. Mm-hmm. And I just have really taught myself this year to just see like beauty, 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 beauty. And yeah, I like condensing time has been a thing for me this year, because I've really just been in the energy. Like whenever I'm thinking about what I want to create, it's like, right, what energy would I be in if I already created this thing? I'm in that energy. And then next minute it's like fucking in my lap. It's amazing.
That's what happened for me too. It's so about embodying in the present moment. And I know for some people it's so confusing. Like their analytical mind can't make sense of it. Right.
I know.
Yeah. And I love what you said about the play. Ugh. The play is so important. We seem to, I think that we need to be like this like leader and like above everybody, you know, to guide them.
And really serious.
I'm really serious, you know, and that's not my, I don't resonate with leadership in that way. And I've been talking a lot about leadership on these podcast interviews, because I feel like it's really important to humanize those that are coaches or spiritual teachers or leaders. We were talking about before we started the podcast, I was like, some days I feel like I'm fucking 12 and I'm playing out in the snow and rolling around in the ground, snorting and doing whatever. Or, you know, the next moment someone's going through process and they're yelling and they're screaming into pillows and I'm just holding space doing shamanic work on them. And we need to be able to embrace that duality. And that is like what you were talking about, like expressing the fullness of who we are.
Yeah, there's no one way of doing it. Like even for me, I know a lot of coaches where they will be like really good friends with their clients. And for majority of my clients, not everybody, for majority of my clients, like that's just not me. And that's because I really try and keep my business a little bit separate to my personal life. But then I'm also like, there's no right way to do a business. So whilst I'm professional on Instagram stories, I'm also like fucking like last night or something, I was like, you know, on the floor stretching and showing something on my, like talking on my Instagram stories. And like the angle was just like so not right. But like, that's an example of like one minute they'll be like professional. The next minute it'll be like, what is she doing? And then the next minute it'll be like me playing in the snow and like allowing yourself to have all of those parts and not be like, oh no, I can't be professional and silly. Mm-hmm. Like you are allowed to be both. Like you're allowed to be everything. And I feel like people, especially women I've picked up on, they think they have to be one vibe. Like the example I use, like at school, I feel like a lot of us, one day we want to wear like boho and the next day we want to wear like some like chic sophisticated thing, next day minimal, next day trackies. And we always will, for me and for a lot of my clients, I always went through my head of like, I had to choose one. I had to choose my fashion style. And we can, you can put this into any area of your life. You have to choose your archetype or choose the vibe. And actually every day could be like so fucking different. Like one day you could be more in your slut archetype and the next day you could be in like the fucking, you know, empress. Like it totally, you're allowed to be everything basically, especially as a woman. As a woman, you need to be everything.
Oh, totally. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's fun.
Oh my God, it's so fun. It's so fun.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to go a bit into, and I know we really wanted to talk about this months ago, about triggering people. And yes. I think like triggering other women as well. So one thing that had happened, and I'll probably speak about it on my podcast at some point in time, is I posted a nude photo of myself on my Instagram, and the reaction was actually really good, but I also lost a lot of followers, which is totally fine. And Monica and I were having a conversation about this because she triggers a lot of people too. Like we don't,
my middle name is like fucking Trigger.
Monica Trigger Yates. And, you know, it's really important that we celebrate women and their sensuality and their sexuality, mm. because that's fucking power.
It's power. It's yeah. Like if you look at history, women used to be praised mm-hmm. for their sexuality, like fucking praised. And so like, I actually talk about this, but like, I really believe that for a lot of the shame women have brought on ourselves, like men don't think, majority of men, not all men, obviously, just like there's just like majority of women, there's shitty humans out there. Right. But I feel like a lot of us, especially as women that aren't doing the healing work, it's just like men are the shit ones. And it's like, there's plenty of shit women as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in society, a lot of women have put the wounding on ourselves. Like men don't think we're weak. Men don't think that generally, right? They're like, you can push a fucking baby out of your vagina. You're good. You're strong. Mm-hmm. We've created the belief that we are weak or that our sexuality is wrong, but we also get to like rewire that in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think too, it's what I feel is it's more women judging women.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Because we haven't accepted that in ourselves. We haven't accepted really. Slut. We,
yeah.
Pussy is a terrible word to say. We can't say that because that yeah. means that you're a dirty whore. And if you're yeah. a dirty whore, that's also okay. Like that's the thing. It's like, yeah. that's okay. I want to be a dirty whore in this moment.
Yeah. It's just whether you're doing it consciously or unconsciously. It's like right. everything. It's like you can eat food that's good for you consciously or unconsciously. And if you're doing it unconsciously, it's still not good. Like you right. just want to be doing every act with like consciousness, not like unconsciously doing it out of like trying to avoid something.
Yeah. And with intention.
Yeah.
And with intention. Absolutely. Cause then that's when you can go really deep with yourself, when you're yeah. masturbating with consciousness and intention, when you're getting fucked with intention.
Yeah.
You know, as dirty as it needs to be, as sensual as it needs to be, like that's so expansive. And I actually like to say too, that, sex is really psychedelic. It's super expansive.
Oh my God. Fuck yeah. Fuck. Yes. Yes.
literally.
Yeah. But it is like, you know what? I try and make experiences that I know are actually going to be painful, like really expansive and like a bit psychedelic, like even just getting this tattoo. Like it's no one, like people can't see it, but it's like basically on my bikini line, like near my hip bone. And like last day of my period, like not the best idea, Monica, but whatever, we just rolled with the punches. And like, I knew it was going to be painful, but I had my eyes closed and I was just really trying to like, actually like alchemize the pain into like, something else, into like pleasure or into me, you know, getting out of my body and getting out of my head. And so like you can use those experiences as a way to like go elsewhere. And sex is like a fucking key one.
Oh my God. I love like sex so much.
I love sex.
I'm really heady for
superior sex.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to talk about that. You mentioned that 2 times. I need to know more about that. I'm still like working on the period. Okay. Sex, but, okay. Yeah, so when I get super heady, I'll go to my honey and I'm like, I need to be fucked right now.
Yeah.
I wanna feel more in my body. Of course I can do that myself, but it's really teaches like to reach orgasm, you need to feel into your body. You can't be so much in your head.
Oh, no. No.
Right? And then of course you can do sex magic, you can use it for manifesting. It teaches you about surrender. It teaches you also about like pain. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But and that will probably be a different podcast episode about like being dominated. And for some people, they're like, wow, that's like, that's really painful. I don't want to be spanked. I don't want to like have all of these experiences. But that teaches you a lot about surrender too. Sex teaches you about how to navigate life.
Oh my God. Sex teaches, like, there is so many elements to sex. And even like with being dominated, it's like, you don't have to want to be spanked if you don't want to. There's other ways of being dominated, but it's also just like this, it's this whole like, oh my God, it's this whole thing, right? And like part of it is like, you have to learn to open up your heart, but that has to be done when you're in your feminine, because like a feminine being is opening her heart up so the masculine can like penetrate her heart, like physically also and energetically. And there's so many elements to it where if you're going into sex, like being closed off or trying to escape something, you're not having the best experience that you could have. Like you, unfortunately, like you are missing out. And like, maybe explore that. Like maybe ask yourself if you are missing out, because sex gets to be like a fucking experience, like out of body, like just, like even like last night, I was just like lying on my bed, just staring at the ceiling for like 15 minutes. So just like, whoa, like, just like feeling, just lying there, like not doing anything, just like staring at the ceiling and just being like, oh, I feel really good right now. Like just letting your body like feel that sexual energy. And like, actually for a woman, if you're like, if you know how to cultivate your sexual energy and let it rise through your body, you'll actually find sex really energizing. Like I have a bit of an issue. If I have sex at night, I will not be able to sleep. Like last night, I probably got 2 hours sleep. Like I didn't go to sleep till like 3 a.m. because I just kept tossing and turning because I had so much energy pulsing through my body because my orgasms aren't, I'm not releasing. I'm building. I'm having full body orgasms. I'm not getting rid of my energy. I'm actually like increasing my energy. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother kettle of fish.
That's a total. Did you say kettle of fish?
Yeah.
Is that Australian?
Maybe. I don't know.
I love that. I'm like, I'm going to use that. Yeah. And that, right. Like that's a totally different conversation about like whether you're releasing your energy, if it's like a more external orgasm or if you're raising the energy, right? Which men can do as well.
As well. They can. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So sounds like you maybe had sex last night.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, is that what I'm picking up on? Okay, cool. Okay. So I want to talk about period sex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are the benefits of it? I've had period sex a few times and I'm more open to it now than I've ever been. Obviously this has been such a huge expansive year for me, going to shamanic sex training, posting new photos. Like I'm all open all about it.
Yeah.
But from your perspective, I just want to hear about your experience.
Yeah. So I have not always had a good relationship with my period, number one, but I've healed that. So the key thing is that if you as a woman are going into period sex, or if your partner is going into period sex, and she doesn't have a good relationship with her period and there's shame around it, like, she's not going to have an enjoyable experience, and neither are you. She needs to she needs to love her blood. Doesn't mean she has to like fucking rub it all over her body. If she's like, I don't do like blood masks or anything, but I don't worry about blood dripping down my leg. Or if there's blood, if I'm like changing my diva cup and there's blood like on the bathroom floor, like, it doesn't faze me by any means. And I collect my period blood and manifest with it. But even before I was collecting my period blood, I was having period sex. So obviously during your period, your intuition is really heightened. It's a very sacred time of your cycle. So I do recommend that you only have period sex with people that you are really like, you know, your heart's really open to them and you are in an intimate relationship with them, because it is like a very, like, they really need to honor the fuck out of you during this time of your cycle. So the thing with period sex is like, you will go on a whole another playing field because your intuition is like so strong. And then when a man is like giving you all of that energy during that time, it's like your heart is already so open. You're already so in your body because you're on your period and everything's just heightened. Everything is better. The orgasms are better. The experience is better. The sensation is better in your body. Also, if you don't like dirty sex, as in like not dirty, like sexy dirty, dirty as in like physically dirty. Yeah. If you don't like dirty sex, then I really encourage you to explore like what it is about dirty sex that you find repulsive or repelling or whatever, because the act of being in your body means that you need to let yourself get dirty because you want to play. You need to let your body go where it wants to go. And the idea of like sex needs to be X, Y, and Z is an ego made up thing. Like, that's all in your head. So if you are having sex and you're worried about mess, like, then you're in your head. But when you're so in your body, you're like, fucking give me the mess. Like, you just want it all. So I love messy, dirty sex because I'm like, the wilder the better. So like the dirtier the better. I'm like, fucking rub that blood everywhere. And then also like sex is like, especially sex in a period, it's like so tribal and it really helps you get into that like primal, like kind of state. And I feel like for men, it helps them to dominate more because they're like, she's just in her fucking womanhood right now, bleeding. And you are just like so in your feminine and you just want to be like ravished and looked after and taken. And it's just like all around fucking amazing, basically.
I'm like over here with my mouth open. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, but like, when's my honey come home?
Yeah, I know, right? But the really important thing is like, as a woman, you need to be really, really open with your period and love your period. But then also like, you need to 1000% know that your husband, partner, boyfriend, whatever, is also like zero shame around periods. If you are worried about him having any like, then it's going to like inhibit you from like feeling really open. And in fact, you might actually absorb some of that shame and your brain might start to go, oh, do I have to be shamed about this? And obviously you don't need to be, but you'll pick it up anyway. So just being really cautious of like making sure there's an open conversation. If you're picking up on like, oh, there's a little bit of shame coming from his end, definitely have an open conversation before you go any further. But if you're like, hey, I'm on my period, do you want to have sex? And he's like, fuck yeah, I do. Then like, then you obviously are good. You don't have an open conversation about it. So just like tune into that as well, because his energy coming into the container is going to be really important because you're going to absorb all of it because you're on your period. So like, you are very open during this time.
Yeah. And it's so important. Like you said, like what's there, like asking what's there, right? To have those open conversations. To just bust past the illusion of, you know, it's messy, it's gross, whatever society projects, right? And I always like to use like movies and media as like, we have to be clean and perfect all the time. Yeah. I'm like you, I want it dirty. I want sweat. I want messy hair. I want to not be able to brush my hair after.
Oh, that's when you know you've had good sex, when you're
totally
hit the bird's nest back here. What the fuck is going on?
I think I'm getting dressed.
Yeah, literally. And we're like, oh, your makeup's like slid off your face because like his like beard is just giving you the worst fucking like rash. And you're like, I look great right now. And your whole face is like red all around here.
Totally. And you've got a glow though. And I sometimes feel like I'm like a wild woman just crawling out of the jungle. And I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, fuck, you're hot.
Yes.
You know? You want that to energy. Feel that way, that primal, like you're saying, primal. And that's really what sex is tapping into, like our primal life force, right?
And the important thing with all of that, two things. Firstly, you won't be able to tap into that if you've got any wounds around you blocking that. So like it's like as soon as you deal with those wounds, you'll very naturally be able to get into this primal feminine state, easy capeasy. In fact, actually at my New York event, we actually did a blood ritual, which was so triggering for the ladies, but so like, I just made it up and and I just like, I was driving somewhere and I was like, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. And it was very triggering, but so healing for them, which was really important. Mm. So you need to make sure you heal those wounds. And number two, can we also not shame men if they have shame for our periods? Because they've grown up with that. So they have to work on that. You know what I mean? So like, I also, it frustrates me when women, like, I get it. Like if a guy said to me like, ew, periods, I'd be like, okay, like, don't fucking say that. Like, you need to go work on that. But I also wouldn't make him feel like bad about that or shame him because, like, according to our brain, if you see blood, there's danger. So a man has a man has grown up, and women, a lot of us as well. Like, you see blood, something is wrong. Somebody's in pain. So it's actually, they have to fucking train their brain to see blood and not go soft or not freak out like in their body energetically, which is hard for them. So also making sure that when you are having period sex, like you're being really gentle with them as well, because they don't get this every month. Like they're not used to this. And if you weren't used to something, like how do you think you'd react? So also just being like really aware of the way in which you're talking to men about period sex and making it seem inviting, not like they should be shamed because they aren't, you know, like, oh yeah, fucking period sex, give it to me. If they're a little bit like on edge about it, like that's okay. Like I'm sure you were on edge about period sex when you first started, like we all were. It's like, I don't think anyone's born being like, fuck yes, period sex. Like we've grown up being like, ew, periods. So the idea of then being like covered in your own blood and being intimate with somebody is like, whoa, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. So same for men.
Mm-hmm. I think that's when it's important to tap into the archetype of like the wise woman. Like how can you hold more compassion? Right?
Yeah, totally.
I got off of birth control about 2 or 3 years ago, and I noticed for myself, I'm not going to say like, I encourage women to get off of birth control because you know what's best.
I encourage education. That's all I encourage.
Yeah, exactly. But I noticed for myself, all of my psychic ability, intuitive gifts started just fucking busting through the roof when I could actually feel my body and connecting to my womb and my pussy.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, it's kind of obvious because the pill, it depletes all your nutrient stores. It fucks your gut, depletes your nutrient stores. Your body is so run down. And like, if your vessel for your channel is run down, like it ain't going to be fucking channeling. Like that shop is shut. So, you know, it's kind of like, I'm sure you can agree that if you're hungover or really tired, you can't channel as well. Yeah. Whereas when you're really energized and you feel really high vibe and you're in a really good environment, you will be like on fucking fire. It's the same thing. Like your vessel needs to be really happy in order for you to tap into those abilities. Yeah, like, I mean, with birth control, it's like, I'm obviously not pro birth control, but what I am pro is education. And a lot of women, they go into their doctor's office sharing their issue or their concerns, and their doctors don't give them every option. Their doctor gives them every hormonal option. Mm-hmm. So every like pill or the IUD or like they give all those, the implant, like all the different options in that realm. They don't tell you like cervical cap, diaphragm, condoms, fertility awareness method. Oh, maybe you've got high estrogen. Let's take some turmeric. They don't tell you that. They tell you like, oh, this drug will fix the problem. And that's what I'm anti, because women are thinking they're making an empowered, informed choice. Like, you know, like with the whole, when the pill was introduced, women were like, we've got our power back. We're making informed choices. We get to choose what we're putting out. Like we get to choose when we want to have a baby. That shit ain't an empowered fucking choice. Mm-hmm. We weren't given other choices. Do you know what I mean? It's this like catch 22 of if you are actually choosing the pill and you've looked at all your options, that suits you best. Amazing. But majority of women aren't doing it like that. Majority of women don't know all their options. Majority of women go on the pill, shit gets so fucked up that they then start looking for other options once shit is so bad. And then they realize, and then that feeds the anger inside of them towards the patriarchy, media, and all that jazz.
Yeah. The first time that I got on birth control, I was 18. It was when I started having sex. And there weren't any other options really for me at the time. So I was on it for about 10 years.
Yeah, wow.
A long time. And my libido was really low. I didn't feel connected to my body. Didn't know about all of these gifts that I had. And it's super important to start educating yourself because it is the most common thing that we hear about when we start having sex or we get on our period to go seek.
Yeah. Like there's something wrong with your natural cycle. No.
Yeah. Right.
Or like fearing I'm going to get pregnant and every day in my cycle. It's like, no, like, you know, you actually can't get pregnant that easily. You really need to know what the fuck you're doing if you want to get pregnant.
Yeah. No, totally. Like there's like a science to it.
Yeah. Like you can't get pregnant in every day of your cycle. It's not fucking possible. Yeah. People often forget this, but you have to have an egg there in order for you to fall pregnant.
Yeah.
Which and if there's no egg, then you cannot get fertilized. Like there's nothing to be fertilized.
Yeah. And it's there for like a day or two.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it.
It would have to be like a straight shot.
Oh yeah. Totally. Exactly. Exactly.
So you were talking about using your blood for manifesting. I literally just bought a Diva cup. So I'm super excited to start giving my blood back to the earth and connect in that way. Yeah. Can you talk about like what your rituals are for manifesting with your blood? I'm curious about it. I'm sure the listeners are really curious about it.
Totally. So firstly, I have a theory that if all women started putting their blood back in the earth, it would help with the nutrient depletion in the soil. That's my fucking theory. I don't know if there's any science behind it, but what I do know is that our soil is nutrient deficient and our blood is so full of nutrients. There is stem cells in our blood. Like you can grow a heart from our period blood. It's fucking creation. So there is a lot of nutrients in there and it's kind of a shame when we flush it down the toilet. Now, what I do want to say is that you have to be in the right scenario to then do the ritual. Like I right now, I'm living in a hotel. I can't collect my blood and then take it out to the garden and do a ritual because there is no garden. I live in a concrete jungle unless I go to Central Park and I don't.
To a plant though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could give it to my Christmas tree, which is like right here if I wanted to, but like, so this is where it's like, just choose what it is for you. So for me personally, I don't want to leave a jar in my bathroom and then the cleaners have to see it every day because I just don't feel like that's necessary for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm also not always in hotels. So other cycles, I will then manifest. What I do instead when I'm in these scenarios is I'll actually pour the blood through my hands and I'll think of what I'm manifesting whilst the blood is in my hands. So energetically, my body is being restored with the creative energy that I'm expelling out of my vagina. And then yes, it goes down the toilet, but obviously like, you know, you only can do it what you can do, whatever the fucking phrase is. You know what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're saying.
My period, communication is not at its best. Anyway, so in terms of though doing a blood ritual, basically you want to have a jar in the bathroom and collect your blood for the week. So you need to use a Diva cup, collect your blood for the week, put it in the jar and you can fill it with, I like to fill it with a little bit of water just to like thin it out a little bit. Otherwise it's like a bit hard to pour it into the earth because it is actually, when you pour it in, it's actually quite thick. Yeah, it's really quite thick. Anyway, so then basically I will sit or stand. I always like to do it under the moon. And I will, you don't have to do it at a certain phase of the moon. Like obviously if you're bleeding with the moon, amazing, but if not, nothing wrong with you. And I will stand under the moon and I might write my intentions down or I will simply just think of what I'm wanting to call in. I might like pray to the moon or pray to the universe and like really call it in. And just, I then imagine that my thoughts, like the rays of the energy of my thoughts are coming out of my brain and going into the blood and the blood's being infused with these manifestations. And then I simply pour it into the earth and I then like say thank you to the earth. And I like feel in my body how it would feel if I already had all those manifestations. And then I simply will, I might, if I want to burn that piece of paper, if I did write things down. Otherwise I might just lie under the moon for a little bit, not maybe in wintertime, but in Australia when it's hot, under the moon in wintertime. And then obviously summertime you're good all year round. And then I will land on the moon for a bit. And then I just go inside, rinse the jar. And that's my ritual. Like, it doesn't take very long. I feel like sometimes people assume that you have to like spend an hour doing a ritual. And I like to really simplify things because I am like a modern witch in that I love all my rituals. I love making my potions and pulling my tarot cards. But I don't spend, you know, 3 hours every day doing rituals. Sometimes I do spend 3 hours, but sometimes I also have time. I only have like 20 minutes. So just doing what you can do. But I love using the blood. And I also just find it a beautiful way to connect back to your cycle, connect to your feminine energy, and like really have gratitude for like this creation has come out of my body. And I'm now giving it back to Mother Earth. Cause like when you think about it, it's kind of sad when you just like flush it down the toilet. I'm like, that just goes in with like poo and whatever else. And that does not have the energy of poo. Like poo is shit that you want to be excreted and does not need to come back. Whereas like blood is, that was going to be the home of a human. Like you were going to create a human in your body. Mm. So I think it's really beautiful to be able to give that back to Mother Earth.
I love that you said that because that's what I was thinking about. I was like, this is so sad that I'm flushing my blood down the toilet.
Yeah. So just like be mindful of that. And like, hey, if you can't do it every cycle like me, that's fine. Like even this cycle, there was one point where I wore a tampon, like no one's going to die. Like it's okay.
Yeah. But like when you go to Burning Man, that's like when you probably.
Like not the time and the place to be using a David cup. Like,
like your hands are dirty most of the time.
Yeah. So like just be like have discernment around those sorts of things. And don't beat yourself up if you can't do a certain ritual or anything like that, because just the intention of like, oh, I would have liked to, like that is a beautiful intention. And for me, that's enough. Like having the intention of, I would have done a ritual right now. That is still honoring my blood and honoring my period, even though I can't physically honor it. And I still will make sure that I'm manifesting, really tuning into my body, slowing down and doing all those other things that are honoring my period, even though I'm not literally collecting her.
Right.
Yeah.
So I am just so honoring of your success this year. And like to not push so much and really tapping into the power of the feminine. I posted a bit today about how fucking awesome women are. And
I know, you're right?
Such powerful creators. We're powerful manifestors.
Like, oh, yeah.
I like using that word. But what do you feel like contributed to just this expansion that you've experienced this year?
Definitely like being in the energy of that future version of myself. Mm-hmm. So like I'll always be like that little bit ahead. Like for example, I hired my manager before I desperately needed her. So, and then as soon as I hired her, I fucking needed her, obviously, because I was like just being that step ahead of like really being in that energy of that version of myself. So I always ask myself, like I'm planning my March New York event and it's like, okay, so even though I don't like need this person, would the future version of me like fucking have that person? Yeah, cool. We're going to get it. Like that, like those little things. Obviously also I want to say being reasonable. Like if you're running a business, don't fuck your cash flow. There is something that I see sometimes of like, you know, if you're always up in the woo-woo of like abundance, you don't want to get to a point where you are actually disrespecting money and having this assumption that it's just going to keep coming back to you tenfold, and actually affecting your cash flow. Like you still need to be respectful of the money that you have. You are running a business. So upgrading my energy has been really, really big for me. And then doing things that feel good. Like honestly, I take a lot of aligned action. Like people always say like, I don't sit on my ass. I'm not one of those coaches or business owners that really, really flow. Like I definitely work every day. I am taking a month off for holidays, which I am already loving. So I do take aligned action, but it always feels good. Mm-hmm. And that's the key thing. It's like, yes, I show up every day. Yes, I work every day. Yes, I'm doing things every day, but it's never shit I don't want to do. I don't launch something that I don't want to launch. I don't push launches. I don't push on people. Like I flow with everything and I trust that it's all going to be perfect. And I show up in a way that makes me feel good, not in a way that I should show up. And like, honestly, the more that I've been doing my business from this place that feels good and feels delicious and fun, the easier it's been. Like, I honestly, fucking blown away by like the way abundance just flies through your door when you worry less about money and worry more about like fun and value and impact and your purpose. Like it's like out of fucking control.
The universe just wants us to fucking play.
Seriously.
It's a playground.
It's like literally. And yeah, I love it. So doing what feels good has been the biggest thing for me this year. And I mean, this year my word was grow. So it was really about growing this year. And next year my word's going to be love. So next year is really a consolidation year for me. I've grown a lot this year and I really want to be able to just like reap it, like just sit in everything that I've grown. So next year's like a consolidation year for me, obviously still growing, but not going to be, I'm not intending for it to be like as intense as it was this year. But yeah, like play, having fun, being really clear on like what you want your boundaries to be with between work and your personal life. And like, I love it when I'm like having a lot of fun and like payments will come through. I'm like, of course. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's that sort of stuff of the better your energy is, the more money you will make and the more successful your business will be because you are more in alignment. And like when you're in alignment, your value is off the fucking charts.
Would you agree that it's, because this is what I believe is that it's like growing a business and consciously creating, manifesting, whatever, calling it money. Half of it is about mastering your energy and the other half is strategy.
Oh yeah. I would say like what I like to say is like 70 or 80% like feminine energy and then and like what feels good and then like 20, 30% is like strategy. But even when I'm teaching strategy, it's like I'm talking what I say to my clients, what's your feminine strategy? So like for example, when I'm in a quote unquote launch, I don't actually have like a set outline of what I'm doing. I show up in a way that feels good. I give myself plenty of time for enrollment. Like I am not one of those people where I have one or either 2 weeks of a program being open. I'm like, I give it a month. So I have plenty of time. So if I'm sick for a week, not a big deal. Or if I'm just not fucking feeling it for a week, not a big deal. That way there's no rush. So when I'm doing strategy, it's always things that feel good. And I kind of make myself like a little brainstorm of like ideas that I could do for my quote unquote strategy. But I do them when it feels good, not when the calendar says.
Right. When it feels fun for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like when I'm fucking excited. Yeah.
Yeah, when it feels authentic and like true, not because I have to, but because I want to talk about this certain thing or because I want to show up in this certain way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So how can people work with you and where can they find you?
Best place to find me is my Instagram, Monica Yates Health. And then I have a podcast called Feminine as Fuck. Best way people can work with me next year is probably like my events are like out of control and they're just like a really nice way for you to get so much transformation from 3 days. Mm-hmm. So, it's three really intense days. Like they're like 12 hours, or 13 hours. I can't remember. And the next one's going to be second weekend in March. So all the details will be on my website. Mm-hmm. Obviously I also have online programs and one-on-one coaching and everything. And that's really great if you know that you need that longer term support. But if you know I need to fucking release some shit, then like the New York event is the best way. Cause I just like the container that's held for you to just do so much physical release.
Yeah,
you can't get that at home. Mm-hmm. Like you just really can't get that at home. So to be able to go to a space where it's like yell louder, like that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really, I think cause we're like, we need to give ourselves or be given permission really to release in that way.
And oh yeah.
If you're in a room of fucking people that are releasing, you're like, okay, I'm not going to be the weirdo standing here, not releasing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And like that sort of release work, you just can't do at home.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, it kind of depends on the vibe, but I always say like, send us an email and then we can let you know what's going to be the best suit for you. I'm getting a new website made, which will be up by the time this is up. And I'm trying to get a quiz on the website where you can like do a quiz and it will tell you what the best thing is for you. So if that's working, that'll be up. Maybe that will help as well. But yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much, Monica. I love you.
Hi. I love you too.
We're going to have to do this again.
I know. Seriously. Yeah. We'll talk more about like more taboo stuff.
Oh, totally. We just gave you guys a little bit today, but, okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. In the show notes, you'll be able to find out how to reach Monica and work with her. I highly recommend going to one of her events. She's totally right. Like in-person events are where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cada estación. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please be sure to share episodes you love with those you know who would benefit. The intention here is to help as many people as possible. And don't forget to subscribe to the True Nature Podcast on iTunes and leave a rating and review. This pushes it to more people. The movement gets bigger. To find out more about spiritual life and business coaching with me and to sign up for the newsletter so you never miss an episode, please visit www.tajsavitri.com. Wishing you all a day full of magic. See you soon.